from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, more than a dozen protests or events are planned this weekend in response to a Patriot Prayer rally in San Francisco and an anti-Marxist rally in Berkeley. Rally organizers say they're about liberty and free speech, but their events are expected to draw white supremacists and far-right militia groups. After the violence and deaths in Charlottesville, city leaders plan to keep security tight and are urging people to stay away. In this hour of Forum, we check in with city officials, counter-protest organizers, and open the phone lines to hear how you, our listeners, are grappling with the weekend events. We'll get started after this news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. A number of counter-protests, vigils, and marches are planned across the Bay Area this weekend in response to fringe right-wing groups organizing rallies at San Francisco's Chrissy Field Saturday and Berkeley Civic Center Park Sunday. The rallies are expected to draw white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and other far-right extremist groups, and police are preparing for clashes between them and counter-protesters, especially after the deadly racist violence in Charlottesville. Both Berkeley and San Francisco mayors have urged people to stay away from the rallies, but many activists plan to make their voices heard, either with events away from rally sites or by confronting white nationalist groups directly. In this hour of Forum, we get the latest on city preparations, from security to public transportation, what counter-protest events have been planned, and we open the phone lines to hear from you, our listeners, how you are responding to all of this. Joining us now is Officer Giselle Linan. She is a spokeswoman for the San Francisco Police Department. Good morning, Giselle Linan.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We know that the National Park Service, of course, at this point has granted the rally permit, but with significant conditions. Can you remind us what the rules are for ralliers?
Yeah, so the most important thing for anyone coming to the events or the rallies is safety. And so with that, the park has issued a permit that limits certain things that can be brought in. Most importantly, that's firearms, including licensed concealed carry firearms. Additionally, there's going to be no aerosol, pressurized canisters, ammunition, animals other than working service dogs, backpacks and bags exceeding a certain size restriction, grills, bicycles, coolers, explosives, gas masks, pretty much anything that can be used and turned into some type of weapon.
And so what will be the police response if they encounter these things?
Pretty much it's going to be to most likely take some action, try and get those people removed from the area, make sure that everybody's safe. Most likely, the typical standard is to do some type of investigation. Ultimately, the first law enforcement is going to be the park police. So they're the ones that are responsible for the national park area. So they will be the first responders there, and we will be there to assist them.
And there are people who will be allowed to bring concealed weapons onto the federal property, though outside of the permitted area. Is that correct?
Actually, no firearms are going to be permitted other than law enforcement. So whether you have a permit or not, we are banning all firearms.
Okay. So my understanding was that you were banning all firearms within the permitted area, but there might be parts of the federal property that would still allow them. That's not the case, you're saying?
From my understanding, we're not allowing firearms in the area, immediate area.
One of the concerns that has been brought up, especially by counter-protesters, is that the presence of large numbers of police officers can provoke the crowd. How are you trying to address this?
Yeah, so our real response is to allow people to be able to voice their opinions. That's their First Amendment right, and it's our job to be able to peacefully facilitate that. So anybody who's coming to protest, they're allowed to do so within reason, as long as they're not spurring any type of violence or inflicting injury upon other people. So our response pretty much is just there for crowd control, to kind of take a stand-back approach until any action is necessary.
But you're preparing for a level of violence that could be similar to Charlottesville?
You know, that's always our priority. We always prepare for the worst, the most extreme. So hopefully we won't have to have that experience that they had. And people that come to voice their opinion, to rally, to protest, do so in a peaceful manner.
Well, can you talk a little bit about what kind of road closures people can expect? There's been some talk that if people are trying to get there, it's going to be very hard, as a counter-protester especially.
Yeah, so there are going to be multiple road closures within the area as well as around the Civic Center area. For most people, they can go on to the San Francisco MTA traffic and transit website. But just to give an idea, there will be bus services that are going to be limited. So, for example, there will be no 76 service over the Golden Gate Bridge. The 22, 28, 30, 41, 43, 45 will also be closed. Some of the streets, such as Buchanan to the Marina Boulevard, Marina Green to Marina Boulevard, Scott Street to Marina Boulevard, Baker at Yard Road to Marina Boulevard, those are all going to be closed down, as well as the immediate parking within that area. BART will be running as normal. There will be paratransit crews out working through the city to help provide service for people that do need it over the weekend. We will also be working with our parking control officers to help facilitate traffic. But overall, people should expect there to be some congestion. We're advising people to walk if they can, take a bicycle, a ride share, or some type of taxi to get around the city.
Are organizers with Patriot Prayer being bused into Chrissy Field for this rally?
San Francisco Police Department is not busing anybody into this rally. So as far as I know, that's not happening.
So those reports are not true.
Well,
Giselle Linnan, thanks for joining us. Are there any final messages that you'd like to give to our listening public about the events this weekend in terms of staying safe?
You know, like I said, the most part, come out if you need to voice your opinion, or if not, try and stay back. Stay home. There's a lot of other things going on in and around the city that you can participate in. But if you want to get out there, just do so in a safe manner. Again, law enforcement's there just to make sure that people are able to be safe, keep that crowd control reasonable. And so just have a good, safe weekend.
And is there anything else you can say about police tactics for tomorrow?
You know, we don't give out operational information, but you will see a large police presence throughout the city.
Officer Giselle Linnan with the San Francisco Police Department, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day, you guys.
You too.
Bye.
We're joined now by Lizzie Johnson. She's a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Lizzie Johnson.
Good morning.
You did quite a bit of reporting about police tactics. What were you able to learn in terms of what the plans are for their response to Chrissy Field?
So obviously, police can't give specific details about those tactics for fear that,
as we just heard from Giselle,
it would impact safety. But from what I've heard from law enforcement experts, the line to walk is having a large police force present, but not being in the face of protesters and the counter-protesters there. So having police on the front lines and then maybe larger masses back in the distance or back in alleys. So if something violent were to occur, they would be there to help.
And it sounds like they're taking an approach or trying to take an approach that's similar to the protest in Boston last weekend, where there were hundreds of police officers in Boston Common. There were some elaborate barriers that were constructed to try to keep people apart. Is that what you're sensing?
Yes. So even yesterday, chain link fences were already going up on Chrissy Field. One of the biggest tactics I think law enforcement will be using is keeping those protesters and counter-protesters separate so that tensions don't escalate and violence doesn't occur.
And have you also talked with Berkeley police at all, or have any sense of how they're planning to respond to the rally?
Yes, Berkeley is going to use similar tactics in terms of keeping those protesters and counter-protesters separate. The mayor of Berkeley had a press conference earlier this week where he stressed that people should not go to the Civic Center Park. If you don't agree with those views, he encouraged people to go to separate counter-protests around the city. But the big tactic across the Bay Area that people seem to be using is don't go. If you have something to say, go to a separate space. But going to the protests and egging those people on will not result in a peaceful conclusion.
And the protest that's in Berkeley that's planned at Civic Center Park is 1 o'clock on Sunday. The protest at Chrissy Field is from 2 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, speaking of counter-protest events or other events that are happening outside of the Bay Area. We are going to be joined by organizers of some of those events in just a few moments. But first, I just want to invite our listeners to join the conversation. We're taking stock of the events, activities, preparations that are happening related to two fringe right-wing rallies that are planned in San Francisco and Berkeley this weekend. And we're asking you, our listeners, what you're thinking, feeling, doing in the run-up to these events. You can share your thoughts with us at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, and you can post your thoughts on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at KQED Forum. Joining us now is Kate Kendall. She's Executive Director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Good morning, Kate Kendall.
Good morning, Mina. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Tell us about the event that you're involved with at Civic Center.
Yes, at Civic Center, there is a, we believe, will be a huge counter-protest and rally to really show what San Francisco values stand for, and that is inclusion and celebration of difference, no fear of difference, and love trumping hate. So I will be, I have the honor of emceeing what will be a rally from noon to about 5, a whole lineup of tremendous performers and some speakers. It's going to be a moment where we come together and we say evil will not prevail.
And what are you hoping that will do in the bigger picture?
Well, a couple of things. One, I think it's desperately important in this most consequential moment that people have an opportunity to come together and not feel isolated and alone and not feel that their own fear is reverberating about where is the world headed, where is this country headed. You stand with 20 or 30,000 people who share your view that we stand for inclusion, we stand for caring for people, we stand against those who would marginalize or separate us. Just that coming together, that sense of community, I think is important. And then the second thing we really want to generate is people's activism and involvement. There's an organization, NoHateSF.org, NoHateSF.org, which is raising funds, $1 for every neo-Nazi or white supremacist who shows up. You contribute that, and it will be distributed among 15 different organizations in the Bay Area. I should say it includes the National Center for Lesbian Rights, my own organization. To those of us on the front line doing this work, fighting back against the worst that this administration is planning, and against the forces that that seek to stigmatize and demonize and dehumanize whole populations of our fellow brothers and sisters.
Did you contemplate having an event like this at or near the rally site?
We did not.
Why not?
I know there are many people who will be showing up at the rally site. I'm coming with my my wife and my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter. I would not want her to be at Chrissy Field. I would fear for confrontation. And more than that, even, she does not want to, nor does she need to hear people spewing sentiments that degrade her fellow neighbors and friends and brothers and sisters that are part of our human family. And when I told her even that the neo-Nazis and white supremacists were coming for a rally in San Francisco, she was shocked and declared something like, I can't believe they can do that here, this place where she feels safe and she feels like all of her is accepted, her both her interracial lesbian couple parents, her as a biracial kid. She feels safe here, and she feels like that is being invaded. So we wanted a place where people could come and not feel like they had to hear the very things that we are fighting against.
What other events would you like to highlight in San Francisco, Kate Kendall, that people can attend?
The No Hate SF rally itself will be in the Castro at noon, beginning at noon. They're going to rally there for an hour and then march to the Civic Center and join us down at the Civic Center. That rally organized by the tremendous longtime activist Cleve Jones is a very important place for people to also gather. I don't know of any other San Francisco-based rallies. I know, of course, of rallies in Berkeley. My main message to people is you don't have to show up to any of these in order to make your views known and your voice heard, but you have to do something. No one can be neutral in this moment. No one can sit on the sidelines and just roll your eyes at what's going on or curl up in the fetal position and say, there's nothing I can do. If we all stand up and do what we can about what we can, whether it's supporting organizations, whether it's getting out there and volunteering, whether it's using your voice and your platform to make your views known, this is a moment where, especially I feel like white folks need to stand up and say to communities of color that are being targeted by white supremacists and this administration, that we stand with you. We are not going to let them get to you without coming through us. And that's the message I hope we convey on Saturday.
Kate Kendall, Executive Director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Also joining us is Nancy Armstrong Temple. She is an activist, a nonviolence trainer. She's with Peace Out Loud and the Anti-Police Terror Project. Good morning, Nancy Armstrong Temple.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. You have your sense of what is happening in Berkeley in terms of rallies to combat the No to Marxism in America event that's planned for Civic Center Park in Berkeley. Can you tell us what East Bay counter protests are happening?
So first of all, I just want to address this idea of protest and counter protest.
Okay, go right ahead.
One of the problems that I have with that characterization is that when we talk about protesting, we talk about protesting injustice. We talk about protesting inequalities and inequities. And what's happening in Berkeley is that there are people threatening to hurt people who are coming into our town, and we are protesting that. We are saying that that's not free speech, that that's violence, that that's incitement to violence, and we are not counter-protesters. We are protesters.
So that would be your preferred language to call it? Because you don't think countering, you don't think what people are doing is countering the messages of hate and bigotry as well.
I think that that is what protest is, right? And when we talk about counter protest, we talk about people who are trying to co-opt and reestablish dominant systems. And that's not what we're doing.
Oh, that's how you see the terminology of countering being understood.
In this case, I think that the language is really dangerous.
I see.
For people who are going out and saying that it's not acceptable when people like the Proud Boys, who part of their initiation process is to hurt people like us, and when we decide to defend ourselves and go out into the streets and say that kind of violence isn't welcome here, that we're then called counter-protesters. That's really dangerous.
I understand your point. Do you want to share any of the events that are going on for people who don't necessarily want to directly engage at the No to Marxism in America rally first?
So there are lots of events happening in Berkeley. And I think that one of the things that happened is that we got to see in Berkeley what it looks like when people don't show up and sit out. And in the first couple of times that the white right came to Berkeley to establish what they said in their language, their dominance over our public square, there were a small amount of people who responded to them and said, you're not welcome here, but most of Berkeley stayed away. We took up the Roosevelt tactic. And the second time they came, more people showed up, but still most people were not involved. And what we have seen is an emboldenment of this white right, whose goal is utter destruction of people who are not like them. And I think that people in Berkeley really realize that that strategy is not an effective one, right? If it were an effective one, then we could use it. But staying home is not the way to get rid of this kind of violent influx. In fact, it just encourages them. And they claimed their times in Berkeley as a victory. So the citizens of Berkeley really know that we have to have a different response this time around. And so there are several rallies happening, different people who have a multitude of tactics and means of responding have called for people to join them who have similar philosophies. And we've all made this agreement that regardless of your methodology to protect yourself, we encourage everyone to practice self-defense.
And what and where are those rallies?
There is a rally that has been called for Alston and Oxford, right at the west end of campus, of the UC Berkeley campus. And the people organizing that is a broad swath of union organizers and students and faith leaders and just people who live in and around the city of Berkeley. The group Showing Up for Racial Justice, S-U-R-J, Surge, has organized a rally at Ohlone Park, at MLK and Hearst. And then there are other interfaith groups that are rallying and marching. There's a singing group that's planning on marching and singing. But the message across all kinds of groups is that that kind of violence and incitements to violence is not welcome in Berkeley.
Well, let's hear where our listeners are going. Let's hear from Jane in San Rafael. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I'm going to Chrissy Field tomorrow, bright and early. I'm crossing the bridge from Marin County as early as I possibly can to make sure I'm there and safe. And my young, single, white, childless self is representing as I need to be.
And why? It sounds like you want to directly confront the groups that could come out tomorrow, including the rally organizers. What motivated that decision for you?
I've been active my whole life, and I'm seeing this country as racist as I've known it to be my whole life. But a lot of my peers, a lot of the people that live in Marin County, are just learning this. So for me to be at the most visible place is so important.
Well, Jane, thanks for sharing your plans. Let me see if I can get Alex from Oakland in as well. Hi, Alex. What are your plans? Or what are your thoughts?
Morning. I'm pretty much here just to advocate. We're going to be there to promote violence against a bunch of Nazis and KKK people. They're here promoting violence against us. They're already doing it. They're ramping around. I'm a white guy from Berkeley, and I feel it's my duty to protect my community, my people that are here, black, white, brown, anybody, against anybody who would yell racial slurs at them or attack them on their sexuality or whatever it is. We are not the proponents of the violence here. We're protecting ourselves against an outside entity.
So when you say advocating for violence against Nazis, do you mean that you would attack defense?
Somebody bar train and some young punk kid said to some girl, "Hey, you N-word, get out of my seat." I would stand up and do something about it. If they came to a fight, I believe that would be totally acceptable.
Well, Alex,
you can do that to people.
Thanks for sharing your opinion. We're coming up on a break right now. We're talking about the events that are happening this weekend and how Bay Area residents are responding. We'll have more after the break. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're taking stock of all the events and activities related to two right-wing rallies planned in San Francisco and Berkeley this weekend. Those rallies tend to draw white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and other militia extreme groups. And so city officials are concerned about safety, about violence erupting, especially after Charlottesville, and they're making preparations now. We're also asking you, our listeners, how you're responding, what you are doing. Are you planning to attend the rally or events inspired to counter the rally? If so, why? If not, why not? Have you had to adjust your plans as a result of weekend events? Or if you'd like to just share with us how the events in Charlottesville have shifted things for you, whether it's prompted you to take action in certain ways that you have not before, or change the way that you move through the world, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org, post your comments on our website, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We're at KQED Forum. We're talking with Lizzie Johnson, a reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle, Kate Kendall, executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and Nancy Armstrong Temple, an activist and nonviolence trainer with Peace Out Loud, an anti-police terror project. And Nancy Armstrong Temple, we heard just before the break Alex in Oakland talking about his response and his advocating of violence against Nazis or people who use, racial epithets and other hate-filled language. As a nonviolence trainer and somebody who advocates for direct engagement, how would you advise Alex or people who want to be involved in protest?
So what I do is train people on nonviolent resistance, and my personal belief is one of nonviolent practicing, and I also believe that nonviolence is a powerful form of self-defense. And I advocate for self-defense and self-determination above all things. Different people have different tactics on how that is, and I don't call people out to do anything. I call people to be in the streets and take a stand, and to use whatever their personal feelings and tactics that they are comfortable with that helps them to claim their own humanity and their self-defense. So, we've heard from lots of different people about the ways that they show up. Thank you so much for Kendall from the National Center for Lesbian Rights, right? Like, they have done amazing work in the world to show that they will not sit down. They will stand up and bear witness and push back in all of the ways that they are comfortable pushing back in, whether that's a legal means or whether that's using their voices or whether that's using their connections to make a beautiful concert in San Francisco, right? Like, we all have tools for resistance and self-defense. And if one of those tools is to stay home and to tweet about it or to write articles, that is one that people can do. If one of those tools is to go out into the streets, because that's where you need to be, I encourage people to do that as well. It really is about self-determination.
And Kate Kendall, do you have any thoughts on this as well, on this question of how to engage directly and how to do it in a way that is about self-determination and self-defense?
Well, I appreciate Nancy's comments and definitely feel like she's the expert here. I do think that nonviolence is a much more effective tactic and obviously more likely to result in one's own personal safety as well. And I do believe violent clashes should be avoided. I do want to separate that, and I know Nancy wasn't referring to this, but I just want to make clear that I do think nonviolence and advocating for nonviolence is different from when we see eruptions of protest in places like Ferguson in the wake of the killing of Michael Brown and communities that had been long oppressed, African-American communities who had been so deeply disinvested in and so made so vulnerable, rising up and pushing back. Those sort of conflagrations are really a cry to say we've had enough. And I understand there's a wide range of opinion about whether that's appropriate or effective or not. But that's a category all on its own. I do think we must confront evil. I agree. If something happens on a BART train, as Alex was referring to, you think about these men in Oregon who ended up losing their lives because they stepped in front of a Nazi white supremacist who was attempting to attack two young girls of color, one of them wearing a hijab. I do feel like we are at a moment where many of us need to be called to the question, would you be willing to do such a thing in order to stand for your values? And I feel like if we answer yes to that, I think we can turn the tide here, and we can make sure that our nation gets on a track, back on a track, where we really confront racism, which has been a huge scourge for generations. We have never appropriately dealt with it, and we've allowed white supremacy to fester, and we've allowed it to be the superstructure that that creates so many systems that oppress people of color. We need to really address that, and I'm hoping, as difficult as this moment is and as uncomfortable as it makes me and as fearful as I think so many of us are, I do think this could be a moment that breaks open the possibility of a wider conversation and real revolutionary change around race in this country.
Well, let's hear from more of our listeners. Eddie in Oakland. Hi, Eddie.
Hi. Hi, Mina.
Hi. What do you want to tell us about what you're thinking and, or doing related to all the events this weekend?
Well, I'm one of many people in a coalition that's putting on an event tonight in San Francisco Chinatown, and it's called Light Up the Night, From Charlottesville to Chinatown, No Hate. And basically, you know, a lot of us feel that Chinese Americans have a long history of discrimination against this country. And in fact, one of the biggest riots in San Francisco occurred in July 1877, and was basically burning out Chinese businesses and violent repression of Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so we who have experienced this firsthand need to stand up when other people are attacked, as they were in Charlottesville. So we're meeting tonight and doing candlelight vigil and a program at the Chinese Culture Center, which is right on Kearney Street, 750 Kearney Street. We start at 6:30. The vigil is at 8 o'clock on the Lowell Community Bridge that connects, you know, the Hilton Hotel and Portsmouth Square. So we're encouraging people to come out.
Thanks, Eddie, for letting us know about that event. Skip writes, Mario Savio will be smiling from above this weekend. Mayor Ed Lee cannot stop free speech, since all speech, even hate speech, is protected under the First Amendment. I understand we do have another mayor on the line, Jesse Adagin from Berkeley. Good morning, Mayor Adagin.
Good morning.
Thanks for talking with us. I'm wondering, this event that's happening in Berkeley is unpermitted. Does that
Yes.
change in any way how the city or the police will respond to the ralliers who come out at Civic Center Park in Berkeley
No.
on Sunday?
We expect thousands of people in our city this Sunday, both at the event in Civic Center Park and also at the counter protest that's happening at Addison and Oxford. So our priority is to facilitate peaceful assembly and to allow free speech to happen. But when things escalate to violence on any side, regardless of your political perspective, we will make arrests and we will keep the peace. And I wanted to reiterate the call that we have made to Berkeley residents and others to not go to the park to participate in that event. There is a concern that things may get violent, and there are a number of other events that are happening in Berkeley, as was referenced earlier this morning, where people can come and speak out and take a stand against white supremacism and racism and against hate. And we are strongly opposed to what's been happening in our country, not just in Charlottesville, but the rise of white supremacism throughout our country. And we feel it's important that people come out and take a stand. But we want to make sure people are safe in doing that.
Mayor Adagin, earlier this week, you were saying you were actually encouraging people not even to attend other events related to the rally that's in Berkeley because of it stretching police resources. Have you changed your mind on that?
Yes. You know, I think what happened in Boston has shown that a large counter-protest can send a very strong message that people coming together, speaking out against hate and white supremacism and bigotry and xenophobia, can not only turn back those forces in their communities, but also send a message that their communities are united against hate. And I think it's important that Berkeley residents come out, and all Bay Area residents come out to Berkeley to the event that's happening at Oxford and Addison on the UC Crescent and other events that are happening in our community away from the park to send a strong message that we're not going to back down, that we're going to stand up against hate and that our communities are united against hate.
Are there any other important logistical details that you think are important for Berkeley residents to know with regard to, say, transportation, like in San Francisco? Or can you refer us to some resources that you think have that information in the easiest and most efficient way, accessible way?
Well, it's I think things are rather fluid, but the area immediately around Civic Center Park will be blocked off. And so I don't think it will impact any bus lines. But just so people are aware that we will be sort of containing access to the park, there will be some limited entry points into the park, I understand that there may be marches that are happening in Berkeley to the park or to other locations, so that may potentially impact vehicular access or public transportation, but those are events that may or may not happen. So we don't anticipate that's going to, significantly impact traffic or bus service. But once again, we are encouraging people to not go to the park because of the likelihood of violence, and rather to participate in these other events. We have 20,000 posters. The city of Berkeley has been encouraging residents and businesses to put up in their windows saying Berkeley stands united against hate, that when these hate mongers come into Berkeley, we will be united and send a strong message that we do not welcome hate groups in our city.
Berkeley Mayor Jesse Adeguin, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Lizzie Johnson, what's a good resource for the other events that are happening in San Francisco?
The San Francisco Chronicle published a long list of protests and counter-protests that are happening across the Bay Area from San Francisco to Walnut Creek, and that's all available online.
You've also been just kind of getting a sense of how residents are feeling. What were you hearing from them in your reporting?
Yes, so there was a lot of confusion in the past few days about what people could expect, particularly people living in the Marina, which is right by Crissy Field, and people that are living on the outskirts of the Civic Center Park in Berkeley. People weren't sure exactly how many neo-Nazis would be coming, if white supremacists would be coming, how many police resources there would be. And that has been cleared up a bit in terms of police resources and what they can expect, just staying away from the scene and going to counter protests. There will also be a meeting held tonight at the Palace of Fine Arts at 5 p.m. with city officials, and that will offer any last-minute details and answer questions for residents in San Francisco specifically.
Were people more anxious than optimistic? Some people I know have expressed optimism after what happened in Boston. Others seem to be expressing quite a bit of anxiety. What were you hearing?
They swing from one end of the spectrum to the other. A lot of people were feeling anxious, saying they were going to leave, go to other parts of the state for the weekend, stay in their homes, stock up on groceries. And then on the other side, people were feeling like they had a responsibility to go out, that this was an opportunity to say, like in Boston, we do not stand for hate. These people are not welcome in our communities. We're going to show what our values are and what San Francisco stands for.
Well, let's hear from more of our listeners. Keith in San Francisco. Hi, Keith.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I'm outside. Listen, I my plan is to go to the Loved Up dance thing that's occurring in DuBose Park. But I thought, I don't know who this group is. And so I went online and started looking at their website, their Facebook page, and listening to videos by their leader. And I have to say, this group is not, he is not what the media seems to be characterizing as, in terms of being white supremacist or neo-Nazi KKK. In fact, he's very clear he does not want those groups coming. He does not want violence. He wants it to be a peaceful day. And I listened to video and after video that he's posted in the last few days, and he's very clear about people not wanting people to bring arms, and that his message is about, and this is what really threw me, his message is about love and inclusion. And, he comes to different conclusions about where he is on the political spectrum.
Yes. It's a good point. I'm glad you're raising it. Joey Gibson is not somebody who, for example, the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified as an extremist, or his group Patriot Prayer hasn't been identified as a hate group. But Lizzie Johnson, can you share with us why there are concerns about the Patriot Prayer rally nonetheless?
Patriot Prayer is an alt-right anti-government group that's based out of Portland. And in the past, they have gone to very liberal cities and had rallies. And those have become the breeding grounds for neo-Nazis and white supremacists to come. Those are the kind of people that incite violence and cause tension between different factions. And there's been a lot of rumors on social media, and city authorities in Berkeley and San Francisco have heard that because the Patriot Prayer is coming here, those hate groups will also be coming because they are drawn to that kind of tension. So even though Joey Gibson, who is the founder of the group, has decried those groups, say that they are not welcome, it still presents a really tricky and controversial situation because one oftentimes brings the other.
Well, Jeremy tweets, Patriot Prayer claims to be peaceful, but they're inviting Kyle Chapman, who has a history of violence. Who's Kyle Chapman?
Kyle Chapman is a protester who has shown up in rallies in Berkeley and has often resorted to violent means to get the message across. That is the other issue that Bay Area officials are worried about, is that this other group that uses black bloc tactics.
And what are black bloc tactics?
Essentially believing that protests cannot be effective unless you are in the face of police and causing damage, that the best way to institute change is to cause destruction. So anytime you have large groups of people coming to the Bay Area for a protest, particularly if they're from out of town and represent drastically different beliefs than what is acceptable here to a lot of people, that those groups will also come and cause damage to businesses. People will be injured, like we've seen in Berkeley before this year.
Well, Beth asks, where is our modern day Dr. Martin Luther King, who would lead peaceful, life-changing demonstrations? All we get these days is opposite views showing up with the intent of engaging in violence. And let's hear from more of our listeners. Francisco in Hayward. Hi, Francisco.
Hi there. Good morning. I just wanted to say that no one has ever fixed their problems by just staying away from them. You know, people that don't want to go to the protest zone, they should at least go and stand by and look at what's happening. And, like, my second thing is, how come the KKK and all those right-wing extremist groups are not in the FBI U.S. Terrorist list, just like the Black Lives Matter movement was? Thank you.
Francisco, thanks for that. Do you want to respond to Francisco's questions at all, Lizzie Johnson?
What specifically was the question?
Oh, he was talking about how people should you know, make their voices heard in some way to counter protest, and then also asking about whether or not members of the KKK and other white supremacist groups are, you know, considered terrorists under the FBI.
Well, I can't comment on the terrorist part, but for people that are hoping to get their voices out this weekend, there are dozens of different demonstrations you can go to, from going to Ocean Beach to form a human heart and get a photo taken in a helicopter to dancing at Chrissy Field. There's also a group that's marching to Chrissy Field to hand out flowers. There's a Yes to Marxism rally in Berkeley on Sunday where people will be wearing glasses and mustaches and trying to infuse some comedy into the situation. So any kind of message you want to convey, you can find a group for it here.
Well, Jen tweets, last week no one had heard of Patriot Prayer. Pay attention and we give them a voice. Ignore them and that voice goes away. That was a point that was also made by our guest last week, Seth Brisk of the Anti-Defamation League, about how attention is these groups' oxygen. Nancy Armstrong Temple, what's your perspective on that?
That's a really interesting question. As a black woman in America, I understand that ignoring people who hate me does not make them go away. And I also want to be really clear that as a nonviolent practitioner, we have this idea in the world that nonviolence is about passivity, but the kind of powerful nonviolent resistance that I was trained in is about the fact that if we see violence, we cannot keep going and ignore it. We have to address it. And I know that's a slightly different question, right? If we are all talking about it, there's already enough prominence that these people have that they need to be addressed in some way. And so once we're all talking about it, it's no longer a question of ignoring them and getting them out of the public eye. And I appreciate Tina Fey's humor and the let them eat cake sort of approach to it. But I have to tell you, that approach has not worked for my people.
Because you define that approach, that sheet caking skit that she did on Saturday Night Live, as?
The end of that sketch, you know, I laughed along with everyone else, but the end of that sketch brought tears to my eyes in a very bad way when she said, she stopped and she looked at the camera very seriously and said, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think of, you know, I come from a long line of abolitionists who refused to stay home. I come from a long line of people who were protesters against the pogroms in Europe and who left the United States to go to Europe and make sure that people had safe passage away from what became the Nazi death camp program.
I don't think that ignoring our problems makes them go away.
Well, Matt writes, I'm a third-generation Jewish American whose family was almost rounded up in the Holocaust. I can't stand when people say that nonviolent conversation is still an option. These people do not want to talk. They want to yell and hurt. Standing in their way is the only way. A listener writes, Boston showed us that the best way to avoid violence is to vastly outnumber hate rallies with peaceful protesters. I'm worried about the decision to organize so many competing rallies will make those of us counter-protesting at Chrissy Field more vulnerable. The city is exacerbating this by shutting Muni down, which will make it harder for us to leave the event. Kate Kendall, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, can I go back to the earlier point, if you don't mind, Mina? I just want to say it's easy to ignore vitriol and hate that is being spewed if you're not the target of it. And we have many moments in our history, and Nancy alluded to Nazi Germany, where people, because it was they were the ones being rounded up, it was easy to just ignore it and hope either that it would go away or that it just wouldn't come to your door. That cannot happen. The never again has to be. We will not allow. We will stand in the breach, and we will bear witness to this vitriol and to this attack on the fabric and the soul of our nation, and we will do something about it. To the point about the multiple rallies, I actually feel like, you know, this is one of those things where is one of those moments where I think multiple strategies are called for. The rally at Civic Center is not going to be where everyone wants to be. The protest at Chrissy Field is not going to be where everyone wants to be. I think we will have tens of thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands of people showing up at whatever way, as Lizzie announced, so many different ways in which people are going to show up to their best gifts. I think we will have multiple people showing up in a multitude of ways. I don't know. I'm not a public safety person, so I'm not sure about – I definitely think being able to exit Chrissy Field would be important, so I don't understand the shutting down of Muni. I do think safety of the people, no matter where they show up, is obviously the number one goal of the city, but I don't think multiple rallies and multiple voices in any way dilute the overwhelming message, which is hate and evil and degradation of our fellow brothers and sisters will not succeed, not just here, but anywhere in this country.
Well, and I'm not sure it was about dilution of the message as much as it was just concerned about resources. But I hear your point. Andy writes, they have a right to speak. I have a right to ignore them. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Jerry in Sebastopol. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. As part of the LGBT community, I have both personal thoughts, but my actions tomorrow will be to be at Chrissy Field. My ancestors were at Gettysburg on the Union side. My father was in the Pacific. My uncle was in the 100th Bombardment Group over Germany. If we don't show, they win. We've got to get in their face. We can't ignore them. They ignored them at the beginning of World War II. We can't do that.
All right. Well, Jerry, thanks for that. And I want to go to Courtney in San Jose. Hi, Courtney.
Hi.
What are your plans?
So my plans are the idea of the fact that a daily life still needs to happen. And I'm planning on attending the March San Francisco's Not a Genuine Black Man. And this is a story about Brian Copeland, who many people know, and it's a story of when he was an African-American little boy and he was bullied in San Leandro, which was named one of the most racist suburbs in America in 1972. And I think his story is something that should be shared, and the most important thing is to continue what's going on. You know, I'm driving up from San Jose. I'm not going to let these protests affect me coming up to the city. I think the most important thing is to continue with our daily lives.
Well, Courtney, I thank you for that. Let's hear from Aaron in New York. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to the points of some previous callers about staying at home and not contributing a voice. And this isn't to downplay the threat of white supremacy, of neo-Nazis, but I feel that it should be almost a given that tolerance and acceptance of all races and creeds in this country as a matter of fact, and that when you show up en masse and maybe yell and shout and try to get in their face, you maybe legitimize in a way this vocal and almost violent minority that is the alt-right.
Well, you're underscoring a point that was raised earlier in terms of drawing attention to this group, and you're saying further legitimizing them, in your view, potentially is a concern.
Yeah, in the same way that there's this feeling among American policymakers that we need the whole weight and might of the American military to bring to bear on Afghan insurgents, when really that war, by committing so many resources, by committing so many soldiers, you in fact exacerbated the problem and made it worse.
No.
And what I fear is a de-evolution to tribalism, the kind of fighting that we see in Palestine and these intractable conflicts where it doesn't matter, it almost doesn't matter anymore who's done what or, you know, where, what side is which, but everyone's wrong. And that's what I don't want our country to, that's where I don't want a country to wind up at.
Well, Aaron, thanks for voicing your concerns and fear. Maggie writes, we have a fitness studio in Oakland and we plan to have sheet cake on both Saturday and Sunday for our class goers with a sign that says, if you stand in solidarity against hate and racism, please enjoy a piece of cake. And let's see if we can get Janet in Berkeley. One last thought from you, Janet.
Yes, hi. It's my opinion that if the Black Panthers or any other black group had decided to have a little soiree in a park in Berkeley, you wouldn't have the police or the city of Berkeley rolling out the red carpet for them. They would have been shut down, and that's what should have happened with these individuals, is they should have been stopped long, you know, before the planning and arrival. And there is a disparity between how groups are treated.
Well, Janet, thanks for making that point in these final seconds. And thanks to Kate Kendall of the National Center for Lesbian Rights and Nancy Armstrong Temple of Peace Out Loud and the Anti-Police Terror Project and Lizzie Johnson with the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.